Hey, welcome back to Haunted Haze. I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode 36.
Mafia.
No, this is episode 36, though. What a freaking journey we've been on, really.
Yeah, right. And
we've talked about a lot of scary things up to this point, right?
Yeah, right. So. I mean, and like I said, told you earlier, I have the post-Halloween blues.
Yeah, I know.
It's like it just went by too fast, October did.
It really did. Like, you know, for us, the pinnacle of the year is kind of like Halloween time, right? We look so much forward to that. Just being horror fans.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, just because Halloween's over, we're still watching all of this stuff.
I watch it year-round.
Right.
And that's exactly why we're doing this podcast, because I can't get enough of it, really. I love talking about this stuff. We watch, you know, like paranormal caught on camera.
Oh, yeah. Reality.
It's not just movies. We go deep.
Yeah, reality, ghost, and paranormal shows are definitely our guilty pleasure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a great segue into our topic today.
Absolutely. Today we're going to talk about poltergeists.
Yes. And, like, honestly, poltergeists are, like, some of the scariest ghost phenomena to me.
It really is. Like really something strong that can, like, throw something at you.
Right.
Or hit you with something, possibly.
Right.
That's scary.
I mean,
because that's potential to kill you.
So, what is poltergeist activity to you?
Well, I've talked about, like, how I feel about energies. Like, everything's energy. And I really think it's just a concentrated area of energy that it maybe is, like, a doorway or
like a portal
for like the spirit world, and it's just those entities or spirits or ghosts are just able to feed off that energy and just are able to interact with this world.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what I'm saying? Like, for sure they have to have some kind of strong energy source.
Yeah, because to me, like, if a place is just haunted and the door opens or door's shut, I don't necessarily know if I would consider that poltergeist activity.
I was thinking, I've never experienced any poltergeist activity myself, but I take that back, actually, because I would consider when we were in New Orleans and our shower turned on by itself.
Right. What about when we were at the house and we asked for a sound and we heard what sounded like silverware being thrown in the sink?
Yeah, but that's a little different because there was actually no silverware.
That's true.
So it didn't actually move anything. And to me, that is like what poltergeist activity is: objects moving, by definition, to me at least.
It's also one of the things that could probably be faked easily, like
some things,
and get on camera to the point people, you know, I'm videoing this
with like fishing line or something.
And I'm sure a lot of the videos that we watch are somehow faked, right?
Oh, for sure.
It's just like a magic trick.
Well, that's I love watching paranormal caught on camera, but at the same time, like, you watch six or seven videos, and out of that, one.
Yeah, one's probably
one
really
I think
real.
Is actually might be real.
Yeah, the other
the
one,
others,
like, this is
I'm like,
ridiculous.
But the whole time we're watching it, I'm just going through all the ways they can fake it. I'm just always trying to, like, come up with, like, rational reasons.
No, yeah, and that's good too. You know what I mean? Like, because I want to see the real thing, and if we're encouraging anyone to just move an object, and we're just all going to believe it.
Oh, right.
Then we're going to be flooded with a bunch of bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's good to be critical about the things that you're watching and not necessarily just believe everything.
No, I think a lot of what ghost hunting is debunking.
Right.
Like, they're always trying to, like, match up their audio with camera, you know, and, like, see, like, what was happening whenever we heard that sound.
I know.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, was anybody talking when that happened?
Right,
like,
right.
Did somebody in our group cough? Or, you know.
I know. I think it's bad to be, like, hypercritical about it and just completely just think everything is faked. And I also think it's bad to be just gullible and just
believe it all.
And just be
if
like,
you
oh,
believe it all, you're terrified, probably.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you're probably,
yeah.
You're like really living in fear. Yeah. Like, that's probably, like, one reason that we do, like, debunk it is out of fear.
Right.
We're like, let me find a rational reason for this. That was not just a ghost.
That's kind of what our podcast is. We're like, yeah, is that real, though? Because I'm scared of it.
I mean, I think I've said this before on here, but when I was a kid, I would lay in bed at night, and if I would hear something, I would just, like, be in my head going through all the things it could have been. Yeah. Because, like, I was such a chicken. And, like, I couldn't even watch. If my mom and dad were, like, watching the news close to bedtime, I would, like, dip out.
Oh, really?
Because I would just get so freaked out by stuff.
At the news?
Oh, yeah. Like, if I heard that there was, like, a murder.
Oh, yeah?
I would be, like, terrified at night.
Well, that's crazy. That's got to be awful because we live in Memphis.
Oh, yeah. This was common. Like, I would just, like, lay in my bed at night afraid until I would just finally pass out.
Wow.
But.
That's terrifying.
I know. So, I think that now, like, I'm not like that. So, I'm not like that really at all now. I'm not really scared of anything. But.
Oh, really?
Well, okay. I'm scared of things, but I can watch.
I know what you're saying.
Because, and so, I can watch these shows like Paranormal Caught on Camera, but in my head, I'm still like kind of that kid going through all the reasons of like, okay, this could have been that. He could have, this could be cut perfectly, or this could be a fishing line. This could be.
Absolutely.
Reversed.
Also, and that's kind of, for me, like sometimes why I want to watch a horror movie. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to watch a horror movie and not think about the real things I watched.
Oh, well, and with a horror movie, that's another thing where I just have told myself it's fake. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to.
I can make it through it.
Now, back to Poltergeist, though. Me, personally, I think this is maybe one of the realest examples of spirit activity.
Oh, right.
All the videos I've seen where it's like Poltergeist activity, a lot of it, that's out there, I'm like, I just don't understand how they could fake that.
Oh, right.
You know, that's really how Ghost Adventures got their start.
Oh, because they caught that on camera.
Yeah, that board flying and that brick being thrown across a room.
Right.
At the Goldfield Hotel.
Yeah. And, I mean, I would be freaked if I saw that.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's definitely something behind poltergeist activity.
Right.
Even if it's demonic, you know.
It might be
demonic, yeah. And they're like, trying to scare you.
Right. All right, so I've got some facts on poltergeist activity and just a little history on the word.
Okay.
So the term poltergeist comes from combining two German words, poltern, meaning crash, and geist, spirit or ghost.
Oh,
so, crash ghost. That's funny. So, in other words, a noisy or an unruly ghost or spirit. Although less common than traditional hauntings, reports of poltergeist activity dates back to the first century. In modern times, the phenomenon has generated several major films and television programs. Yeah, so like the movie Poltergeist, that's a hit.
That's a great movie, really. Yeah. I love, that's one of my favorite horror movies.
Yeah, it's a
great Halloween.
And it, like, October has a great explanation.
Yeah,
it's a great movie. It's awesome. So, parapsychologists can't agree on what they are. Some parapsychologists view poltergeists as a type of ghost or supernatural entity which are responsible for psychological and physical disturbance. Others believe that such activity originates from an unknown energy associated with a living person or location. Skeptics, on the other hand, prefer mundane explanation as pranks or trickery.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so, well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we just... So, just you're kind of on the energy aspect of it.
I definitely believe...
I'm more on the, like, ghost causing that happening.
Well, I mean, I think it's spirits, energies.
You're just like, it's spirits feeding off of that.
Right.
Supernatural energy.
Well, also because it doesn't happen everywhere.
No.
Typically, like, poltergeist activity is confined to, like, one specific building.
Oh, yeah.
Or area. You mean?
Like, just in one house.
Yeah. It's not, like, the whole block.
Right. And I think a lot of times it happens just in, like, certain areas of the house.
Yeah, which, you know... Yeah, it's all back to energy for me.
All right. Poltergeists tend to prefer women to men. Great.
Oh, that's interesting.
A person-focused poltergeist tends to, but not always, involve a female adolescent who is suffering from emotional turmoil when the activity begins.
Oh, wow.
That said, however, not all so-called focal agents are teenagers. Indeed, William G. Roll, a pioneer in poltergeist research, found the age of people reporting experience of poltergeist activity ranged from 8 to 78 years old.
Wow.
That's interesting, like a teenage girl going through emotional trauma or whatever. It's like that. I mean, that is some serious emotion and energy you're putting out.
Well, that really reminds me of the Bell Witch story.
Yeah.
Which is close to here, Adams, Tennessee.
Yeah. I don't really know much about that.
Oh, wow. Well, we should definitely talk about that sometime. But literally, like, the girl would get, like, pulled by her hair by the spirit, slapped around.
It was a teenage girl?
And she was a teenage girl. And the whole other people would be affected by it. It was, but mainly it was her and her dad. But it really centered around her.
Wow.
And him, really. But
all right, some of the best poltergeists are thought to be fakes.
Well, of course.
Yeah. In 1967, at a lawyer's office in Rosenheim, Germany, strange things started to happen in the presence of a 19-year-old secretary, Anne Marie. Paintings and overhead light fixings started swinging, while fluorescent tubes unscrewed themselves and massive spikes in electrical activity occurred. The speaking clock was also called multiple times per minute, and furniture was moved.
Wow.
The police, utility company officials, physicists and parapsychologists investigated without any explanation.
Wow.
But many believe it was a fake, all due to hidden nylon threads, especially given that the incidents stopped when Anne Marie left the firm in 1968.
Well, I mean, so they think it was either real or just Anne Marie was doing it?
Yeah.
And no one else was behind it?
Yeah.
See, that makes me lean a little bit more towards it was real, and then it was just doing it because of her.
And yeah, she left.
So she was the energy that they were feeding off of.
It followed her or whatever.
Right.
All right.
I don't know. Like, how is she doing it by herself?
Yeah. I mean, that would be with nylon string, I don't know.
Is it happening while, I got so many questions on that one.
It seems like it's a pretty well-documented case, so.
Yeah, but they're saying it's possibly fake.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Poltergeists like to mess with your stuff. Poltergeist activity typically starts. Poltergeist activity typically starts with minor, isolated incidents. This could include unexplained sounds or familiar objects, such as your keys or phone, moving from your usual place.
Well, that's it. I've lost so many knives, like pocket knives. I
know you blame me for it.
It's fucking poltergeist.
All right, but while poltergeist activity is typically short-lived, manifestations typically last around 5 months. Some cases have persisted for several years. The Chilliwack poltergeist in Canada, for example, was active for only 2 months between 1951 and 1952. During this time, the poltergeist produced loud and violent hammerings on the wall, accompanied by occasional flying objects. The Brothers Dolly case, on the other hand, included a range of phenomena, stains, carvings of images, and Welsh words, generally of religious nature, and these persisted for several years.
Wow.
It's a relief a little bit to know that they only last for a couple months.
Like,
and most of the time.
Well, it's interesting. So was the energy, like, dissipate? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, or, like, is there something feeding that energy? Like, what happens leading up? Y'all ain't just happy-go-lucky everyday people, and then all of a sudden you have a poltergeist.
You know, just live my life. Nothing's wrong till I end this little song.
Yeah, so whenever I feel like you have to have some darkness, right? All right. Experts are still undecided about the Enfield poltergeist. One of the most famous poltergeist cases happened in the UK, happened to the Hodgson family and their newly occupied council house in Enfield, North London. Between 1977 and 1979, it was a case of demonic voices, objects moving without explanation, levitation, and strange noises. Events focused on the two teenage daughters, Margaret and Janet. Is this from, like, The Conjuring 2?
Oh, it might be, actually.
Several reliable witnesses observed phenomena. These witnesses included police constable, a press photographer, and investigators for the Society for Psyche. While investigators did discover some evidence of prank and fakery, it was believed that many of the poltergeist incidences were genuine.
Wow. I think that is the story of The Conjuring 2.
Yeah, I think it makes complete sense. The Margaret Janet, 1977. Yeah, like, that's
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, I don't know, like, if you're having poltergeist activity, why would you also fake some poltergeist activity? Is it just to get, like, more help?
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to, like, make it more dramatic? A more
desperate situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, that's the only reason I can think of. That's not
that far-fetched for me. Or just get more publicity things off of it. I'm sure people think they're going to write a book on it. You know, writing a book on events was way more of a thing.
Oh, right.
You know, back in the 70s or 80s.
Some believe that emotional stress can cause activity. I mean, I don't think that sounds far-fetched at all.
Like just depression?
Right, yeah.
And it just feeds off the negative energy? I could see that.
Some ghost hunters and paranormals propose that poltergeists are actually the emotions of troubled individuals built up during times of stress. This theory, known as spontaneous reoccurring psychokinesis, suggests that this is built-up stress that unconsciously projects outwards in the form of mental energy, which affects the physical environment and produces the phenomena attributed to poltergeists.
Wow.
But there is little evidence to support this notion. I think that that sounds like it could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, like, stress and stuff like that can have effects on your body that scientists aren't even aware of. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
I agree with that, yeah.
So it's like, why couldn't it manifest outside physically?
Right, and it just goes back to what I feel with the energy.
Right, you know
what
I mean? Exactly.
And that's just a negative energy. And I think negative energy has just as much power as positive energy.
Oh, right. Like, positive energy, like, we don't talk about that enough.
Yeah, but yeah,
like positive energy is definitely like I try to put positivity out there, you know, because like I think you get what you put back.
Sure, so you're leading with a little bit of karma, which is still, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean energy,
karmic energy.
I believe in karma too, though. But all right, others believe that they are spirits of the dead. Many people believe that spirits of the dead are responsible for poltergeist activity. I feel like that's just a classic ghost.
Right.
This is said to be because people who experience them perceive an underlying intelligence and meaningful communication with an otherworldly being. This view proposes that a disembodied consciousness, or soul, survives the bodily death. But again, there also isn't any compelling scientific evidence to support this view either.
Well,
yeah, I mean, like, how can you?
Yeah, well, yeah, what are the scientific things you can really do? That's my whole thing is, like, yeah, science is great, but sometimes I feel like we lean too much on science.
Well, like, it's like just science hasn't figured it all out.
Right, exactly. That's my point.
Like, yeah, like, there's still a lot to figure out.
Like, it's still okay to be, like, critical thinking and
have a little faith.
Well, have a little faith or have, like, you know, an imagination about things.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, well, what if it, you know, as soon as you stop thinking about the imagination side of things, like, nothing changes.
Right.
Nothing evolves. We don't look at it any differently.
I do see how, like, if you died and I was here and I heard a bang on the drum.
Oh, you'd be like, it was Josh. Josh did it.
Right,
Josh,
exactly. He's here. While, yeah. Like,
that's a good one.
You know what I mean? Like, I would be, like, so in that case, I would basically feel like it was your ghost, right?
So, oh, yeah,
like,
right.
I think that...
Fair enough. If I die, yeah.
Don't do that.
Why?
I'll be scared as hell. Even if I think it's you.
Well, it would just
because be then you, I would think, he's here and he's going to be fucking with me.
I don't fuck with you. But, yeah, that'd be a good indicator. Like, if you hear any kind of thing come from, like, a musical instrument.
Oh, that it would be, hey, yeah. There's your thing.
Yeah, that's all I'll reach out.
Is, like, through a music instrument. Okay. I still haven't thought of one. All right. But
I'll be lost.
Skeptics put a lot of it down to misinterpretation.
Well, yeah, of course.
Misinterpretation is likely to occur when people believe a place is haunted and they're looking for evidence to confirm this.
That's what I was saying earlier. Like, it's scary to, like, completely just believe everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
In this way, a lot of poltergeist activity can actually be attributed to inaccurate perception of natural phenomenon. Take the case of a woman haunted by a ticking clock, and it was actually discovered that the noise was created by a tiny insect.
Oh, wow.
In other cases...
For her credit, though.
Yeah.
There was something making the noise.
Yeah, for okay? sure. She wasn't crazy.
Right.
Other cases, such as the curse of the spinning Egyptian, an Egyptian statue in the Manchester Museum appeared to turn itself during the day. It has been explained by physical factors such as minor seismic activity, underground steams, and even a rainfall pattern.
Wow.
So, like, that's crazy. You're telling me that it can rain enough that this statue kind of moves?
Wow, that's crazy.
Or there's underground streams?
Wow, yeah. Interesting.
And minor seismic activity. You're telling me it can be just that minor of seismic activity that it just...
I need to see this thing.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, that was my facts that I had on poltergeist.
Well, that's really interesting. That kind of helps me out. I'm still a little on the fence about categorizing, you know, just every movement. I mean, I guess it is paranormal.
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't really count sound as poltergeist activity, but yeah. I guess it kind of is. And in that case, we've had a lot of sound ghostly experiences.
Well, then that's what I'm saying. Like, what the ghostly and poltergeist is really just the same thing. Right? If there's a ghost in the house?
No, because, like, if you have, like, a camera and you catch, like, a silhouette of a ghost on camera, that's just a ghost. It's not a poltergeist because it's not making any sound or movement that physical. You know what I mean?
Okay. I see. So there's a thin line.
There is a difference. It's just that poltergeists are ghosts that are strong enough to move things.
All right. Well, how about I give you 7 signs of poltergeist activity?
Okay. Man.
This is how you know for sure that you got a poltergeist in the house.
Man, okay. Let's find out.
Disappearing objects, right?
I really struggle with.
Yeah, we're talking about the pocket knives. So you put your set of keys or your cell phone down in the place you always put it. You turn around a minute later and it's gone. You and your family search high and low for it, but it cannot be found. Later, sometimes days later or longer, the object mysteriously reappears in the very place you always put it. Or more bizarrely, you later find it in a ridiculous place.
Yeah, so I might have some poltergeist activity, babe. That happens to me all the time.
Well, you might
the doctors say it's ADHD, but I think it might be poltergeist.
Oh, okay. Let's just blame it on that. So if you find it high on a bookshelf or in a shoebox in the closet or some other spot where you've never put it in a million years, this is known as disappearing object phenomenon. Or, like Kristen likes to call it, ADHD.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time. I'll put things in a weird spot thinking, why would I forget this weird spot?
Wow.
And then I lost it forever.
It's really affecting my life at this point. All right, so what about objects levitating or being thrown? You're sitting there watching TV. Totally engrossed in a dramatic horror movie, when suddenly the bowl of popcorn you've been munching rises from the coffee table, floats through the air a few feet, and then drops to the floor. Or you're having a loud argument with your teenage daughter, and she storms out of the room. Books and knickknacks come hurling off the bookcase as if reacting to the young girl's anger. The movement of physical objects like this can be quite dramatic, and can be as slight as a box of Tic Tacs sliding a few inches across the tabletop, or as amazing as a heavy refrigerator levitating off the kitchen floor.
I would die.
So that reminds me of, remember the story of Maddie, my daughter's mom?
Oh, room? Yeah.
Right? The feather duster come hit me in the back? Oh, yeah.
So that's a good poltergeist moment.
And there's other things. We've talked about how that house was haunted.
Oh, right.
Right? With Maddie. She's had stories. All right, so scents and odors. I can see this. Like, if you smelled, like, a weird especially when they say that, like, it's a sulfur smell, it's like a demonic thing correlation to it.
I'm yeah.
Like, that makes sense. So no one in your house smokes, yet on occasion, the distinct smell of cigarette or cigar smoke can be detected in the bathroom. Or as you're dressing for her bed, suddenly the overpowering scent of lilacs fill the room.
Mm.
As stated above, all kinds of smells can enter the house from the outside, even from a passing car. So such scents might not necessarily mean poltergeists. Such scents and odors can also be a sign of ghost activity, as they might be associated with a spirit or with residual hauntings.
One time I thought that I smelled a ghost in this house. It was like an old lady's perfume smell, and it really grossed me out. Well, I debunked it. And what it actually was I had left a Bath & Body Works plug-in plugged up, and it was all burnt.
Oh, wow.
Just when we thought we had a poltergeist, Zeppelin busted in the
room. Wow, Zeppelin just busted in the door.
So,
wow,
it was actually just a plug-in that was plugged in way too long, and it started making like an old lady smell. I was thankful. That's I was like, oh, thank God, it's just this.
Perfect time, our dog just busted through the door there.
Yeah, for real.
Made it thankful the door was just opening.
He came in hard.
I don't understand how he opened it.
It wasn't shut all the way.
Okay. Sorry about that. All right, so let's get back. So, electrical interference. Johnny is having a tough time in school, and sometimes when he enters the living room with that scowl on his face, the overhead light and lamps flicker. Or it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're shocked out of sleep by the stereo and the din turning on full blast and it doesn't have a remote control that could have set it off accidentally, either from inside or outside the house.
I would freak out if that happened.
Yeah, like you're just dead asleep?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing kind of close to that we've had happen is our Google Home has, like, randomly started talking.
In the middle of the night?
Yeah, but it's a lot of times it's saying, like, I can't connect to the internet or something, yeah, you know what weird. I mean? Like,
but also, well, that reminds me of, remember that one video that we saw?
Oh, right. That was creepy.
In the middle of the night, it gave the definition for a seance.
Yeah.
And then they heard, like, those footsteps run up the... That was
really I think creepy. A door might open in that video too.
Yeah, the we've talked
about this
open.
Video several times.
Yeah, that's one of the more
I need to find it and post it on our Facebook.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Also, like, I remember there used to be this Elmo doll.
Yeah.
And my sister had one and there's literally no batteries in it and it would still make like
that's creepy.
Like weird noises. It was creepy. We threw that doll away.
Yeah, I had, like, some Furbies that would make some, like, weird, creepy noises, like, but I don't think that it, I can never say that, like, the batteries were out. You know what I mean? Like, they probably had batteries in them.
Also, like, when it comes to, like, on your TV, like, there's so many, like, radio waves and just electrical signals.
Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to really understand any of that, really.
But you're saying that there's a way.
To a degree, why it would turn on. But I'm saying maybe there's a possibility it could mess with your TV in the middle of the night and it'd turn on.
Right. I agree. Like, if it's plugged up and there's electricity running, I'm not convinced that there can't be, like, a power surge that turns it on.
Right. All right. So, power from nowhere. That antique clock on the fireplace mantle hasn't worked in years, but it's a family heirloom and you like how it looks up there. So you've kept it. Quite suddenly, it begins to chime and the second hand resumes moving, even though the clock hasn't been wound in 10 years. Maybe it's 9:15 p.m. and the kids are all sound asleep in bed. And suddenly, Billy's little choo-choo train begins to chug across the living room floor. You think that's odd, but you switch it off and put it back down. A few minutes later, the little train starts up again. Thinking there's something wrong with the switch, you open the battery compartment to remove the batteries, but there's no batteries in it.
Mm.
Right? So that's what we were just talking about, right?
I mean, if anything turns on without any power supply, I mean, to me, that it's is a sketch. There's some kind of energy
that's making it
doing that. Yeah. Yeah,
that's pretty sketch. Knocks, rappings, footsteps, and other noises. Now, this could all be very easily faked.
Yeah.
Right? Because usually when you hear a knock or something, mm-hmm. like, there could be anybody in there doing it.
Oh, right.
Right? But that's back to what I said earlier about the silverware being thrown in the sink at that house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, that actually is poltergeist activity. Now that we've learned more about it, like
we came full circle.
Yeah.
But that's interesting, though, because that's scary to me.
Right.
When you know there's nothing in this area, like, you know there's no one in there.
Yeah.
And you still hear sounds and noises.
Right.
Like, loud sounds or noises. It's like, that's crazy.
For sure. One time when I was a kid, my aunt figured out that she could trick me and my cousin. And if she went into her bathtub and, like, banged on the walls and talked from the kitchen, it sounded like it was coming through the cabinets.
Oh, wow.
And so she would scare the shit out of us.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so physical attacks. 12-year-old Alyssa can't stand her parents are always fighting. The constant yelling and screaming are driving her crazy. She sits on the floor in the corner of her room, crying with her face in her hands. She winces from a sudden pain in her neck. When she checks in the mirror, she finds fresh scratches. Or the poltergeist activity, from unexplained bangs to flying coffee pots, has been escalating at the Furman household, and young Becky seems to be the center of it all. It got at its worst when visiting Uncle Ben received sharp slaps across the face, seemingly from an unseen hand. Physical attacks such as these have been documented in such cases as the Bell Witch and the Amherst poltergeist.
Yeah.
But they are exceedingly rare and only occur in the most severe cases. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
But the fact that these are, like, real documented cases, you know what I mean? Like, how can you discredit that? You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of people said this is what happened.
If the Warren said it really happened, I kind of just believe that.
So, an experienced paranormal investigator or a parapsychologist might be able to help you determine if what is taking place in your home is either poltergeist activity or a haunting, which can sometimes exhibit similar effects, or whether there is a logical, non-paranormal explanation. In the cases of poltergeist, the investigator will look for other factors. Since poltergeist activity is a psychic effect rather than a spirit-based one, the investigator should try to determine who the agent is, the person who is generating the telekinetic activity. Various kinds of stresses can be caused of this activity, including emotional, physical, psychological, and even hormonal stresses. And so the investigator should try to examine the personal and family dynamics and very well might need to seek the help of therapists or counselors. However, most cases of poltergeist activity are short-lived, lasting only days or a few weeks. It is rare indeed that they stretch out for months or more. Most of the time, they just fade away on their own.
It's just a brand new thought to me that it could be emotional energy.
Right. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, though. Like,
yeah.
Because they also talk about oppression.
Right.
Right? And then, like, the demonic possession, right?
Yeah.
At first, it's oppression. And what they say, they hear, like, knocks in the houses.
Oh, right.
So, poltergeist sounds more demonic than, you know, it sounds like there's a lot more negative around it than there is good.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Because, like I said before, happy people probably aren't really getting poltergeist.
Right. But then depressed people would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
That's interesting. That's scary.
It is scary.
That's really scary. Well, we would love to hear from you. You tell us what you think.
Do
you believe
for sure
in poltergeist activity? Do you think it's all made up? Have you seen a video? Would you like to share that video?
Or have you seen it firsthand?
Yeah, have you had your own experience with it?
That's what I want to know.
That's what I want to hear, yeah. We would love to hear from you. You can always hit us up at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, and as always, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Haunted Haze Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for following us on there. We love hearing from you guys. We appreciate the likes. Appreciate all the love, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It's so fun, and I love continuing our creepy journey, even though Halloween's over.
Yeah.
It's Halloween all the time at Haunted Haze.
It really is, right?
Yeah.
And we're glad that you're here listening to it with us, because that means you're into the same things.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to us about it. Tell us what you have had happen to you that makes you believe.
Absolutely. It makes it fun.
Yeah.
We're doing this to, you know, really entertain people, and we want to hear some feedback from you. And we also, if you are enjoying it, review it wherever you're listening to it. And,
yeah, on Apple, on Spotify, give us some stars.
Yeah. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, the clock just stroked 12, and you know what time it is.
It's time for Verses.
It's time for Verses. As always, we take one scary thing and we put it against another scary thing, and we let them have a battle royale, and we decide which one we think is the scariest.
Yep, and I just picked it out of the super duper secret box.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and as always, the super duper secret box is where we keep all the scary things, and so because of that, we have to make it pretty.
Yeah, we do. We have all kind of cool stickers on it. If you want to give us anything... to add to the super duper secret box, I just wanted to say that real quick. Feel free to send it to us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Or if you have your own
Verses
idea,
yeah,
we would love to hear from you about that.
Yeah, for sure. We are taking applications on the Verses idea.
All right, so what are we fighting this week?
Round one. Knowing your death date versus not knowing your death date.
All right, so knowing or not knowing. We've actually kind of talked about this before.
Yeah, it was on our Would You Rather.
Yeah,
but,
I mean...
There are good arguments for both.
Right.
Because if you know your death date, you can literally live your life to the fullest.
Yeah.
But if you don't know... Like, what knowing your death date could really have some fucked up consequences on your brain.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, really, if you're saying if you don't know, I mean, 99% of people don't know.
Yeah, I mean, right? So people who like know their death date, that's what, you're killing yourself?
Right.
Yeah, like...
So, but is it scarier the fact that we don't know?
I think it's a hypothetical.
Yeah. Oh, I know, but that's what I'm thinking. Like, maybe it is scarier the fact that we don't know or... You know, we're just kind of living day to day, like...
Maybe that we just don't think that's scarier because...
Well, you hear all the time, like, people that find out that they have cancer or some terminal illness. How, like, they're so happy for their years because they know, like, this is what I have, you know, like...
Right,
like... make the best of it, you know?
For sure.
While a lot of people kind of, unfortunately, get in modes of depression or...
Right.
Just funks or ruts.
And you just don't know what's ahead.
Right.
So, I mean, it is scary knowing, because it's like what if I find out, like, mine is in 3 months?
Well, see, that to me is what's scary about it. What's scary about knowing to me is it might not be as long as I want it to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, like I said, like, in some ways, it's probably freeing.
Knowing.
Yeah, like, knowing that I'm just, like, no matter, but unless you do stupid things, I guess. You can't be like, oh, no, I'm going to die in 27 years and then be out here just, like, running red lights and stuff.
Oh, right. Like, I think that there's still... Knowing your death date could still have accident. You know what I mean? Like, there could still be a... I don't know.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if you're told that you're dying on March 20th, 2057...
Yeah. That's just when death's coming.
Yeah, and, like, you can do whatever the fuck you want from then. But, okay.
See, I'm with that.
There's so many like contingencies. I don't know.
But then thinking how we live normal, like really, it's normal because we've just it's just we have no other choice other than accept death, right?
Yeah.
And we have no other choice other than accept that we just never know what's going to happen to us, and we could die at any day.
For sure.
So really, to me, that's scarier.
Yeah.
The fact that it could happen any day from now.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I feel like not knowing is probably actually scarier.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with that.
All right. I agree.
Look, you don't have to.
No, I know. I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you make a good point. And just the thought of knowing your death date just gives me so many more questions.
To me, it's almost freeing. But it would be scary. The moment leading up to, like, all right, finding out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they got their own super duper secret box and they're reaching in and picking out you a date.
Yeah, for sure.
And it could be 3 days from now. It could be 37 years from now.
I hope more than that.
Okay, it'll be 370 years from now.
Well, that's a lot. Okay.
You wouldn't want to live for 370 years? Like, say they advanced technology and medicine to the point where you could live for 300 years.
I literally don't think I could handle this earth for that long.
Really?
Not the people.
The people?
I couldn't handle where this earth is going.
Oh.
300 years from now.
Okay, Nihilist Kristen.
Yeah.
Just you're looking forward to that sweet, sweet death.
No.
Please get me off this rock. I'm done with it.
No, but I definitely don't want to be around in 300 years. Like, I'm okay with having like an 80-year lifespan.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not. I think that's really short for us.
It is really because short a in lot the of grand it, scheme of things.
Well, especially that part where you really get to experience life, like your prime.
Yeah.
Your golden years.
Yeah.
Is really like a 25-year span.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's really short. Like, because at one point, you're just too young to really do anything.
Yeah. And then most people have kids.
At one point, you're too old to really do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Well, here we are to bum you out on Haunted Days podcast.
Yeah, we hope you are really depressed now.
Hopefully that depression doesn't bring any poltergeist activity.
Oh, man. We're doing you no favors. We definitely should have prefaced this with, hey, sage this week.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to this episode, you should definitely start saging.
Sorry,
now.
It's a little too late, but that should just be a standing rule.
All right. Just every episode. Just make sure you got your crucifixes and your sage. We might accidentally say some incantation. Read it. We never know what we're about to read, so we just start reading. And we might accidentally, you know, say some spell, and you listen to it and become a demon, and we're sorry.
I don't know if you should say that.
Well, it happens afterwards, right? Like, you can't read it and be like, I don't know, you should said that.
All right, well.
We're sorry, guys. We're definitely hazed.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what do you think? What's scary to you? Knowing your death date or not knowing your death date? Not knowing, it's just everyday life.
Yeah. It's just one day your day's gonna come.
But it could
either way.
It could be freeing.
Knowing. Well, I would love to hear somebody else's opinion on it.
Yeah, feel free to hit us up. All right, well, watch out for anything going bump in the night or moving.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be scared of it now. Right. Now, every time something happens, I'm going to think.
Oh, guys. Oh. Kristen just got scared again.
What was that?
I don't know.
As soon as I said that.
It was a crazy, creaky sound.
It was like, it almost sounded like something dropped in the corner of the room.
It really did.
God damn it.
You spoke it into existence. You brought that energy here now. You're not, wow.
That really got me.
I know, you gotta like watch that area for a long time now to see if anything else moves.
And it won't.
But if something comes flying, what are you gonna do?
Move.
Well, we're recording this now. Listen to our death. What happened to him? They just disappeared.
And look, his phone was recording. All right, well, thanks for
All right, sorry about that, guys. Well, I think we're going to get out of here. We're going to start saging. until next time, peace out.
Peace out.
Stay haunted.